Morning. Today's daf in Tamura is Yud Zayin. We're going to be starting today in the Mishnah on Tezayin Amud Beis. Again, more general discussions regarding Tamura. The second parak we talked about basic distinctions that are made between various types of karbanos. The first Mishnah of the parak, going back to Yudalid, talked about differences between a karban yachid versus a karban tzibur. The next Mishnah, which was on Tezvav, talked about the difference between a chatas yachid versus a chatas tzibur. And Tamura obviously played part of the discussion. And so now this represents the third Mishnah of the Perek. And so the Mishnah begins, Chomer b'kachim mibitmur, v'chomer b'tmur mibikachim. So we're going to now compare the Chomers. There are certain Chomers that exist by Kachim, by the original consecration, as opposed to Tamura, which is the secondary. And the converse as well. There are stringencies that apply to Tamura that don't apply to Kachim as well. And so the Mishnah takes us through all the various Chomers that we have by Kachim over Tamura, and the one Chomer that we have of Tamura over Kachim. So, Mishnah starts off, Chomer b'Kachim b'Tamura. So after giving us the heading, the Mishnah launches into the differences. She'akachim osim Tamura ve'in Tamura osa Tamura. What can affect Tamura? Only primary Kedusha. Something with primary Kedusha can affect Tamura, but a Tamura cannot affect Tamura. Again, I know we went over a lot of these points already earlier in the Masechta, but here is the Mishnah doing just a wonderful job organizing the information. So as far as Chumra number one, so Tamura can only become a Tamura from a primary. Cannot become a Tamura from that which is already a Tamura. Hatzibur v'ashufim makdishim avalo memirim. As far as either a community, meaning public money, or even a partnership. So they can impose hektesh on an animal, but they cannot affect Tamura with their animal. Again, I know a point that we already discussed earlier, but this represents a chumah that we have by kodesh that we don't have by Tamura. And finally, number three, umakdishim ubrim ve'evarim. And what you could do is you can infuse hektesh into either a fetus or into a limb. Now, you remember we quoted this Mishnah earlier because this Mishnah certainly sounds like the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Right, the classic machlokas that we saw earlier in the Masechta between Rav Yochanan and Bar Pada, whether or not you could be Makdish and Ubar. Our Mishnah, the simplest reading of our Mishnah is that you can be Makdish and Ubar. And so we quoted the Mishnah earlier in the Masechta. We did defend Bar Pada even from this Mishnah, but anyway. Makdishim uvim be'evarim, you can infuse Kedusha into either a fetus or a limb of an animal. Avalam emirin, but you cannot do Tamura to either a fetus or to a limb. Tamura can only be transferred over to a full behema. The pasuk by Tamura says behema mi behema, from one animal to another animal, and so therefore Tamura does not work to neither a fetus nor a limb, even though the original Kedusha does. Okay, so three chomers that we have by Kedusha that we do not have by Tamura. Conversely, a chomer b'tamura mi b'kachim. There's one chomer that we have by Tamura that over that of kachim. Sha Kedusha chala al balasmum kavua ve'ein yotzin l'chulin ligazas v'le'aved. As far as the Kedusha of Tamura, it could take effect even on a Baal Mum Kavua. The animal's blemish, the animal has a permanent physical blemish, which would have inhibited it from becoming a Karban. But if I introduced it to a Karban via Tamura, so then the Kedusha is in fact Chal. This animal will now have Kedusha Saguf to the point in which, now again, I'm going to remind everybody because we keep saying this over and over again. And, you know, the more I see it, the more I digest it and understand it. That does not mean that you're going to be offering this animal as a carbon. You can't offer it as a carbon. It's a Baal Mum. But nevertheless, the type of Kedusha that it receives is going to be a Kedusha Saguf. And therefore, what you can do, the only thing you can do from this point going forward is you can redeem it and you can eat it. But in other words, but as a redeemed animal, it's going to be qualified as a redeemed animal that once was upon a time what had Kedusha Saguf, which means that you can't shear it and you can't work it. And the Mishnah says it. The Mishnah says it clearly. The ein yotzi l'chulin ligazis v'le'avid. You cannot do giza, you cannot do avoda with this animal. Despite the fact that it was, when it received its Tamura Kedusha, it was a Baal Mum. Nevertheless, the type of Kedusha that it receives is Kedusha Saguf. Therefore, when you do in fact redeem it, it's going to be asa b'giza v'avoda. It's what is called halacha, in classic halacha, as psulei hamukdashim. Just a contrast, by the way, I mean, Rashi makes this point, but I'm just going to make this point also as clearly as possible. Just a contrast. If I went to an animal that was a Baal Mum and I wanted to be Makdish that animal with original Kedusha, not Tamura Kedusha, so what becomes of that animal? The animal only has Kedusha's Damim, it doesn't have Kedusha's Aguf. meaning that animal now is like Eitzim Vavanim. It's like me being Makdish this table. It only has value Kedusha. It does not have any intrinsic Kedusha. When you redeem it, the Kedusha goes totally away. Because the only thing you were Makdish it was just Kedusha's Damim, not Kedusha's Aguf. Fine. So that's when you're Makdish a Bamum. But now, as we're learning, as a Chumra of Temura, is that if you infuse an animal with Kedusha via Temura, even though the animal is a Baal Mum, it's going to receive Kedusha's Aguf. Okay. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Osa Shogeg, Kemezid, B'Temura. Now, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda is going to be adding another Chumra by Temura, and that is Shogeg Kemezid. That even if you were unintentional about Temura, so it's going to take effect. What exactly does that mean, you were unintentional? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to offer no less than four different explanations of the Mishnah over here. Shogeg b'meizid b'tamur v'lo asa shogeg k'meizid b'mukdashim. As opposed to hektish, where there is no principle of shogeg k'meizid. Hektish only works when you are mazid, when you're intentional about giving something kedusha. If you were unintentional, so then it's not going to have kedusha. Again, the Gemara is going to explain what exactly we're talking about when we talk about shogeg k'meizid. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Haklaim v'atrefa v'yotzi dofim v'tumtum v'adjoganos lo kedushim v'lo makdishim. Rabbi Lazar says that when it comes to these five different types of animals, which are certainly disqualified, kalim, an animal which is a crossbred animal, mother's a goat, father's a sheep, doesn't have to be that permutation, but I'm just giving an example, or trefa, the animal has one of its organs that are punctured or severed to the point where halachically now it is deemed a trefa. Yossi Dolphin, the animal came out via cesarean. Tumtum, the animal's gender is covered. Androgynous, the animal is demonstrating both genders, male and female. So all these different types of animals are going to be disqualified to be brought as a carbon. So lo kedushim, lo makdishim. So they're not going to be able to be injected with kedusha, nor can they be makdish and transfer that kedusha elsewhere. Again, we're going to go over the pshat in this last part of the Mishnah a little bit later on. Shmuel is going to give a pshat in this Mishnah. We already saw Shmuel's pshat in this Mishnah earlier in the Masechta. Today we're going to be able to review it again. Okay, so the first part of the Mishnah is super clear. The first part of the Mishnah tells us the various chumras that we have of Hekdesh versus Temura. The second part of the Mishnah tells us various chumras, actually one that's agreed to by everybody, various chumras that we have of Temura over Hekdesh. What we're going to be doing in terms of the discussion of our Mishnah, and really till the end of this parak, which ends on the top of the Amud Beis, is that we're going to be discussing the latter part of the Mishnah. We're going to first start off with the opinion of Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that when it comes to Temura, so Shogeg is going to be like Mezid. What does that mean? So the Gemara, as I pointed out, is going to offer various Pshatim, four Pshatim in total. My time with the Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, I'm across to the Pasuk says, Yiyeh Kodesh L'Rabba Shogeg Kemezid. So Yiyeh Kodesh, the simple reading of the Pasuk is, it will be Kadosh. Meaning, obviously, this is in reference, it's in context of Temura. And what we are learning from the Pasuk is that even if I wasn't intent on making a kadosh, nevertheless, yiyeh kodesh, it's going to be kadosh. Now, hechidami shogeg kemezid. Okay, so we have a drasha. That's great. Now, what exactly is the case scenario in which we're talking about shogeg kemezid? Meaning, keep in mind, by the way, this is the struggle of the Gemara. In other words, generally speaking, we're talking about shogeg. So, when you talk about shogeg of an action, right, you understand. Right, so shogeg by ritzicha. We just had it in the parsha, right? You don't even need to go to the Gemara. So shogeg by ritzicha. So I threw an item and I didn't know that that person was there and I killed him. Now he was there and I should have been more mindful. Okay, so in other words, what we call here in America manslaughter. Okay, so that's shogeg amazing. But that's easy though because in other words, there was an action and there was a lack of thought. So you understand shogeg when it comes to when it comes to most Yisurim in the Torah, Shabbos, just as another simple example. So Shabbos, what do I do? I do a malacha, having forgotten that today was Shabbos. So good. So the action was done, but it was a mindless action because I thought today was Sunday. Okay. So these are examples of shogeg. They're easy examples of shogeg. When it comes to Temura, you understand now it's going to get challenging because what is Temura? Temura is not an action. Temura is a declaration. It is a verbalization of a thought. So the struggle the Gemara is going to have is, what exactly is the scenario of shogeg as it relates to Temura? Because we're not talking about an action, a mindless act. We're talking about a mindless verbalization. That's where it gets tricky. That's why the Gemara is going to offer more than one pshat. So Amar Chizkia Kesavar Shuhu Mutar Lahamir. So Chizkia says, well, okay, So the pshat in the Mishnah goes like this. The pshat of shogi kemezid by tmura is where you thought it was okay. Now, it's a funny thought, by the way, because don't think the Torah could be any clearer that you shouldn't do it. But, okay, that's what the Torah says. And somehow, I don't know, you read the Torah incorrectly, or maybe you were just simply not knowledgeable of the Torah. Whatever the case is, it's omer mutter. You thought it would be okay. So, gabi tamura laki, gabi kashim lo laki. Now, in one version of the Gemara, it says that when it comes to tamura, not only is the tamura kedusha going to transfer, but also you're going to get malchus as well. I'm going to come back to that moment, to that point in just a moment. Lishna achrina, now you see in the brackets, we do have another version of the discussion. Gabi tamura kaddish, gabi kachim lo kaddish. For when it comes to tamura, it is going to be infused with kedusha, but when it comes to the original carbon, it's not going to be infused with kedusha. Okay, so this is now shot number one. This is the first shot of what exactly it means to be shogeg. Shogeg means omer mutter, you thought it was okay. One of the versions of the Gemara that we just read is that by Tamura, not only is it going to be effective, but you're also going to get Malchus as well. For a moment, let's pause and consider what the Gemara just said. Again, I know this is just one pshat in the Mishnah, but still, it is an opinion in the Mishnah. If you do an Avera B'Shogeg, now I know, specific to Tamura, but if you do an Avera B'Shogeg, you're going to get Malchus? That's amazing. Right? Where else do we find that you're going to get punished for doing something inadvertently? Malchus, of course, only comes for intentional act, when you're amazed, right? It's the basics of onshin. You have to be amazed. You have to get a hasra. And over here by Tamura, what the Gemara is offering as a suggestion is that you're going to get Malchus for doing Tamura b'shogeg. Now, granted, by the way, in the Gemara, as I read it, so this is one version of the Gemara. In fact, there was another version of the Gemara as well, right? The Lishna Achrina, Gabi Tamura Kaddish, Gabi Kachim Lo Kaddish. So if I went with that second version, so it's not, the discussion over here is not about Malchus, it's just a question of whether or not the Kedusha transfers via Tamura, yes or no. But it has nothing to do with Malchus. But at least in one reading of the Gemara, you're going to get Malchus for a shogeg. That's amazing. Now when I say that's amazing, I'm not the first one who finds this to be just fascinating. This is an old discussion. Tosfos, the Bali, the Rishonim already discuss it. Take a look at the top Tosfos on the Amud. Gabi Tamur Mlaki, Gabi Kashim Lalaki, the Isfarim Degarsi, Gabi Tamur Kaddish, Vechule. Okay, so Tosfos has both of our Girsahs. The Girsah of by Tamura, Bishogig, you're going to get Malchus, and the other Girsah of, no, by Tamura, Bishogig, it's just simply that the Kedusha is going to transfer. Ulafi Girsah's Rishonim, Mishum de Shogig, the Tamura Laki, Gzerasa Kasavhi, Mishum de Chsiv Yi, El Rabba Shogig Kamezid. And so, but Tosfos now is entertaining that first pshat that you're actually going to get Malchus for doing something b'shogeg. Now, on this issue of can that possibly be the pshat, look at the next lines of Tosfos. Rabbeinu Baruch, Rabbeinu Shimon Shantz, if luguba harbe, im yesh Malchus b'shogeg t'tmura. And this is a major debate, meaning you don't normally find this in Tosfos, where they actually describe how the Rishonim are debating this strongly for a lengthy period of time, in terms of whether or not one can be subject to Malchus as it relates to Tamura if one does so b'shogeg. And so what could be at the core of the debate, now it's kind of hard to project over here, we're not given much more information, but what could be at the core of the debate over here is regarding the nature of Tamura, meaning we discussed this before. The idea behind Tamura in that the Isser of Tamura is really just the transferring of the Kedusha, regardless of whether it was done with or without intent. Meaning, the Torah says don't do it, and the Torah talks about the efficacy of the act. It's going to be a good act, despite the fact that the Torah says not to do it. So, by virtue of the fact that it was an effective act, therefore you're going to get punished, regardless of what your mindset is. That could be one way to understand Tamura, or no. In other words, the Isser of Tamura is the attempt to do the act, but in other words, when we say attempt, we mean the mindful intent of doing the act, meaning mazid, not shogeg. So, again, it's really interesting debate in terms of whether or not there's even a malchus by shogeg of tamura, and two girsos in the Gemara, and the Rishonim are strongly debating. Okay, that's pshat number one of the Gemara. The Gemara continues now with a second pshat. Reish Lakish, Rav Yochanan Amar, Kasavar Lomar, Tamuris Ola, Va'amar Tamur Shlamim. Lishna Achrina, Gabi Tamur Shlamim, Kaddish Gabi Kashim, Gabi Kashim lo Kaddish. Lishna Achrina, Kasavar Lomar, Shachar, Va'amar Lavan, Gabi Tamura Laki, Gabi Kashim Lalaki. Okay, I know I read it just a lot, but basically in the second shot, you didn't say exactly what you originally thought. You thought about either one type of carbon, and you then just, in other words, just a bump in your mental road, if you will. Right? You thought shlamim, and out of your mouth came ola. So this is what's called hektish betos. Hektish betos means that that's not what my intent was. My intent was something else, and then, whatever, the brain was buffering, humanity. In other words, then what came out of my mouth is not what I actually was thinking about. So what's the general rule regarding hektish betos? It's a machlokus between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, but the accepted viewpoint is hektish betos is eino hektish. It is not hektish. So by original consecration, by being makdish, this does not work. And the Gemara just gave two examples. One where you thought ola and you said shlamim. One where you thought black and you ended up saying the white animal. Not what you originally intended. So by the original hektish, it doesn't work. But what about tamura? It works. In other words, that's the shogeg kemezid by tamura. Even though by hektish it doesn't work, by shogeg, by tamura, it does work. That's pshat number two. Pshat number three. Rav Yochanan Rabba Omer Tetzazu V'Tikanasazu. So Rav Yochanan says is that what your intention was is that you said, I would like to deconsecrate this and have it go into something else. Gabi Kachim, Shinola Be'emum Nechalim B'lo Pijon, Lo Laki, Gabi Tamura Laki. And so by Kachim, you're not going to get Malkus. By Tamura, you're going to get Malkus. What exactly is this scenario? So take a look at Rashi over here. Tetzazu V'Tikanasazu. V'Oso Shal Hektish Tamimahi. Meaning the original animal was a tamima. It was an unblemished animal. Now, of course, an animal that has kedusha seguf, that's unblemished, so can you remove the kedusha from it? Obviously, the answer is no. V'lo nafka l'chulin, ela tofesa zeb kedusha sav, v'havi tamura. So what's going to end up happening is if you try to extract kedusha from an animal that was a tamim and that had kedusha seguf, and you try to bring it over to another animal, we have a word for that. It's called tamura, meaning that's our mesechta. V'hu saver shetetze l'chulim kebamom. V'lo l'hamir nizkavim. But that wasn't the person's intention. The person wasn't interested in affecting tamura. He actually thought that what you could do is you can deconsecrate. Now, he's wrong. Let's start there. But to a certain degree, you understand what he was thinking. In other words, I could do this by a bamom. If the animal's a blemished animal, can I deconsecrate it? Not only can you, that's what you're supposed to do. So in other words, in other areas of karban, there is an avenue for deconsecration and then transferring that kedusha onto another animal. So, but he made the mistake and he thought you could do that even with a tamim. Fine, he made the mistake. V'afilo hachilaki. Right, correct. V'afilo hachilaki. And nevertheless, now he's going to be subject to malchus. Meaning that he wasn't intent on doing tamura, but he did tamura. And so therefore you're going to get malchus. So now you're going to take this scenario and you're going to apply it to the original hektesh. So under those circumstances where he benefited from the animal that it was makdish, thinking that it was okay, it's a strange thought, I know. But thinking that it was okay, so under those circumstances, when he thought it was okay, he's not going to be subject to Malkus. So by tomorrow, he is going to be subject to Malkus, but by the original Hektish, he's not going to be subject to Malkus. That's going to be a third possible shot in our Mishnah.
For the Malkut here, he has to be warned.
Yep.
So if he's warned, then he knows that what he's doing is wrong.
Yeah. So that's normal. By tomorrow, we're saying Shogeg is Kamezid. And so, therefore, you would not need a straw. Correct.
You don't need.
Correct. In other words, in this particular scenario, Rav Sheshes Amar beOmer Ekanes LeBayzev VeAktish VeAmir Midati VeNichnas VeHemir VeAktish Shelo Midato. So Rav Sheshes gives the fourth scenario of Shogeg Kemezid. A person says, "Here's my plan." Right? He has an entire strategy. He's going to go into a house and he's going to be Makdish and he's going to be Meimir. So he's going to inject original kedusha into an animal and then transfer it onto another animal. He's got an entire game plan. Of course, part of his game plan includes an avera, but okay, that's his game plan. And he went in, v'nichnas v'emir v'ikdish shelo midato. Now, but when he went into the house, he did so, even though he had an original plan that he was going to do this. When he walked into the house, he became kind of like mindless. Right? Rashi actually gives such a description of him being mindless. V'nichnas v'hikdash v'hemer shalom idato. Shebal machshavosu. Rashi has a great way of describing this person. He's a daydreamer. Okay, so when going into the house right now, so even though he did have a plan at this point in time, he's floating. He's floating. So Shabbat Machshavasu Rashi v'lo haya yodea ma haya omer b'tmur kache v'laki degali krashoge kamezi. So on the original kedusha, you have to be mindful. Yeah, in other words, you can't just inject kedusha into an animal mindlessly. You have to be in your state of mind, in a just basic state of mind. Mashen came when it comes to Tamura, even though it was a mindless act, nevertheless, it's going to be an act of Tamura, and certainly the Kedusha is going to travel. And as far as him getting Malkus, again, in the Gemara, in the Gerus that we have in the Gemara, he's going to get Malkus. That's what the Gemara says. But again, I guess we can also go back to the Machlokus of the Rishonim, whether this is a correct Gersa, and whether or not you're really going to be receiving Malkus for an act that's done b'shogeg. Okay. Anyway. Okay, so the first shot of the first part of today's daf was just simply understanding Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi of Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah says that another chumrah that we have regarding Tamura over that of Kachim is that Tamura could be done even in a state of shogeg. He has a drasha that learns it out. It sounds like from the Mishnah, by the way, this point is clear. I didn't make it clear. Sounds like from the Mishnah that the Tanakhama does not agree with Rabbi Yossi of Rabbi Yehuda. Sounds like he is a dissenting viewpoint. But in any event, he says that when it comes to Tamura, we're going to make shogeg like mazid. What exactly is the pshat behind Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda? So the Gemara just offered us four different pshatim. Chizkiah Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan is number two. Rav Yochanan is number three. And Rav Sheshes is number four. Four different pshatim in terms of what it can mean. By the way, it doesn't necessarily mean that one's to the exclusion of the other. The Gemara is just simply giving case scenarios of what our Mishnah means. Okay, continuing in the Gemara, we are a little bit less than halfway down in the Amud. Rav Lazar Amar Klein Vatrefa. Okay, Amar Shmuel. Now, this should sound familiar because we saw this before. We already saw our Mishnah being cited earlier. We already saw Shmuel's pshat in the Mishnah back on Daf Yud Aleph. So here we are just a week later, and we get to review. Shmuel says, what's pshat in the Mishnah? Lo kedoshim b'tmura v'lo makdishim lasos tmura. As far as these five animals are concerned, they cannot become kadosh via tamura, and they cannot be the source animal of tamura as well. So they can't be on any side of the battery of tamura, not the one that is providing the kedusha, nor the one that's receiving the kedusha. The obvious question. So Tanya Amar Rabbi Meir. Sorry, we'll get to the opposite question in just a moment. Tanya Amar Rabbi Meir Omer Meachar Shein Kedushim. No, here it is. Shein Kedushim Eichan Makdishin. So let's get this straight. They cannot be receiving the kedusha. Once they can't receive kedusha, obviously they cannot transfer it over to another animal, right? It's obvious. So what exactly is the point? Just tell me they can't receive kedusha, and that should be enough. So the Gemara says, well, I'll give you two very simple scenarios of how it works. Now, there are five scenarios in total. So let's keep this in mind. Five types of animals that, in of themselves, cannot receive Kedusha, but we're going to come up with case studies in terms of how they could have received Kedusha. So in the case of an animal which is a trefa, that's actually easy. You are makdish it before it becomes a trefa. Then it becomes a trefa. Now, what we're learning together is that now that it's a trefa, you cannot transfer the Kedusha via Tamura to another animal. Okay, good. That's very good. So that's the case of trefa. What about the case of Yotzi Dofen? Also, pretty straightforward. What you do is you're makdish the fetus inside, obviously before it's born. And now that you're makdish inside, now remember, I know it's machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Bar Pada. But let's go back and assume that the halacha falls like Rav Yochanan. So you're makdish the fetus inside. Now the fetus has Kedusha Sagov. And what happens is that when it comes to birth, so it's born via cesarean. Okay. So now it's no longer eligible to be brought as a carbon because the Yotzi Dofen's puzzle the carbon. And can I transfer the Kedusha via Tamura? And the answer is no. But at least now we have a scenario where it has Kedusha Seguf, but because it was born Yotzi Dofen, so therefore the true Kedusha can transfer. Good. So this is two scenarios which are explainable in terms of I can't I can't get it to being kadosh through Tamura, and even if it started as Kedusha, I can't transfer it via Tamura as well. Well, how did it become kadosh? So for two of the five scenarios, we have just given good shot in the Mishnah. What about the last three? The last three are going to be very challenging. Tumtum, androgynous, and Kalayim. So these are congenital issues. How can they become a carbon? So, Ava, Kalayim, Tumtum, androgynous, Yatam, Otse, Elab, Vlad, Ekashim, Valiba, the Rebbe Yehuda, Damar, Havlad, Ose, Tamura. So over here, you're going to have to say the following. You're going to have to say that you are Maktashid in utero. Okay, in other words, and remember, the Gemara earlier said, it's easiest to explain this like Rav Yochanan. So you were maktashid in utero. The fact that it's tumtum androgynous and you don't even have to go that far. You were maktish the mother before conception. Okay, that's easier and that's better. You were maktish the mother before conception, and then the mother conceived as a carbon, and the mother delivered as a carbon. What comes out now, the result that comes out, are animals that have Kedushas Agov, and the fact that they're Tumtum or androgynous or Kalayim, so what? Meaning, they're still going to have Kedushas Agov. Now, obviously, they can't be offered on the Mizbeach. You're going to have to wait till they get a blemish, etc., etc. So here we have scenarios in which it could affect Tamura. However, we have to add one point, which the Gemara does, and that is, it's Vlad. These are offspring. Can an offspring transfer Kedusha via Tamura? Well, that was a machlokes between Tanakam and Rav Yehuda. And in order just to entertain this scenario, we have to subscribe like Rav Yehuda that a vlad can be osed tamura. Okay. Amar Rav Papa, my time of the Rebbe Lazar. What is the basis for Rebbe Lazar's ruling that when it comes to these animals, and let's speak specifically about a trefa. So how do I know that? But these animals, they cannot transfer via tamura. Now, my time of the Rebbe Lazar, kebehema tamea, ma behema tamea lo kreva velo nachta le kedusha zaguf. So look, by non-kosher animal. You're maktish a non-kosher animal. So fine. Can you be maktish a non-kosher animal? Sure. You know what kind of kedusha it has? It has kedushas namim. The value of it is kadosh. Obviously, it's not going to have kedushas aguf. Same thing with these animals as well. To which the Gemara says, what kind of comparison is that? Wait, 1 second. I can tell you animals that are not eligible or disqualified to be brought on the Mizbeach, and they're going to receive Kedushas Aguf, i.e. a Bamum. A physically blemished animal cannot be brought on the Mizbeach, and yet, at times, can receive Kedushas Aguf, i.e. via Tamura. So, your argument is, well, if it can't be brought on the Mizbeach, it does not have Kedushas Aguf. That's not true. Amrlei, Bamum krab bimino. So the Gemara says, well, you know, Bamum, I know this animal cannot be offered as a carbon, but categorically, this type of animal could be offered as a carbon. Iachi trefanami. So, kakarva bimina. So the Gemara says, that argument? Well, that argument works by trefa. An animal's a trefa. Yeah, you're right. I can't offer this animal as a carbon, but I can offer this type of animal as a carbon. So your argument now does not exclude a trefa. So, ala amarava ke behema tamea. Ma behema tamea pasol. Pasol haguf. Af kol psul haguf. The Gemara now tries to make a very nuanced distinction. Very nuanced. When it comes to behemoth tamea, so you know what kind of psul that is? It's a psul haguf. It is something that is inherently wrong with the animal vis-a-vis it can't be offered as a carbon. It's what the Gemara describes as a psul haguf. And when it comes to a trefa, I'll say the same thing. It's a psul haguf. Meaning there's something inherently wrong with the animal in which why you cannot bring it as a carbon. But when it comes to a ba'mum is not something inherently wrong. A little nick in the ear, a little split in the lip, that's not considered a psul haguf. It's not something which is fundamentally inherently wrong in the animal. Okay, it's very nuanced, and not only is it very nuanced, the Gemara is not going to like it for a moment. It's not true. The Gemara does like it for a moment. But then the Gemara does not like this distinction. Amalei Rav Adar Rav Avalo Saruva Kalut Ksiba Parsha V'hani Psul Haguf Ninu. You know, of the physical blemishes, there are physical blemishes, which we've gone over numerous times. Sarua v'kalut. Sarua, the animal is uneven. It's asymmetrical. Part of the animal is larger than the other part of the animal, right? The one eye is larger than the other eye. Kalut, the hooves of the animal are fused, a mutation. When the animal comes out of its mother, so the hooves are fused. Now, these are types of physical deformities where it's not just chaser. It's not just missing a little bit of the ear. or it has a split in the lip. These are now things which are congenital, and the Gemara describes as being fundamental, psula guf. And so therefore the distinction you made previously is just simply not a distinction. Ela amar rava ke behema tmea, ma behema tmea deleka bimina, afko deleka bimina, lafuke bamum deha ika bimina. So the Gemara says, well, the Gemara is going to try once again to go back to the categories. Well, you know, by behema tmea categorically cannot be offered. We're not up to trefa yet. A bamum categorically, it can be offered as a carbon. So maya mar trefa ika bimina. So the Gemara says trefa categorically, meaning this animal, this particular animal cannot be offered, but this type of animal can be offered. So the Gemara says lo dami la bamum behema tmea asura ba'achila trefa asura ba'achila lafuke bamum demota ba'achila. So finally the Gemara comes around on the distinction, which quite frankly we all could have said. But the Gemara finally articulates it. There's still a very basic difference when it comes to a physically blemished animal. So fine, I can't offer it on the Mizbeach. Can you and I eat it? Not now as a carbon, but in general. If an animal has a physical blemish on it, can we eat it? Not only can we eat it, we can enjoy it as well. Meaning the physical blemish does not make it a trefa. It's got a nick in the ear, split in the lip, or even if it's asymmetrical. It's not going to make it not kosher, just simply disqualified to be brought as a carbon. So there, in terms of making a very basic distinction, it's muta b'achila. Masha'enkin, when it comes to a trefa, when it comes to behema tmeya, what do they have in common? They're both not kosher. And so therefore, if we're going to be comparing the trefa to anything, compared to the tmeya, because in the regard that they're not kosher, it's similar. Okay. Amr Shmuel. Hamachish is a trefa tzricha mum kavua. Livdos alav. Okay. And so, good. So, at this point in time now, we have said over the last part of the Mishnah regarding Rebbe Lazar. I should have paused for a moment before I started reading Shmuel. Sorry. Rebbe Lazar says that when it comes to these five types of animals, Kalayim, Trefa, Yotzei Dofen, Tumtum, and Adrogonos, so they are not going to be receiving Kedusha, meaning Kedusha Zaguf. And even from Temura standpoint, they're not going to be eligible to be even receiving Kedusha via Temura. Even though Temura can be Makdish a Bamum, but it cannot be Makdish these animals. These animals are so fundamentally disqualified that they're not going to be receiving Kedusha Seguf, not even via Temura. Okay, good. So now we have said good Pshat in the Mishnah. We gave case scenarios for all these cases. How could it possibly be that they're even going to be Kaddish to begin with? If they can't receive Kedusha, how can they even be the source in order to transfer Kedusha? So we gave scenarios for all five cases. Okay.
So you could be
Magdish Atayfa
according to Shmuel?
I shouldn't have started Shmuel yet. Everything I just said was summary of what we did earlier. Okay, sorry. New topic. Amr Shmuel. Hamakdish es hatreifa tzricha mum kavua liftos alav. So Shmuel says, let's say you're Magdish Atayfa. And again, just for the purposes of making this as simple as possible, you knew it was a treifa. It wasn't something you discovered later. You're Magdish the treifa, so you need mum kavua. You need a permanent blemish in order to be poded the animal. Now, what is Shmuel saying? Shmuel saying something which is obviously really interesting. That when it comes to a trefa, your makdish a trefa, it's going to have kedusha seguf. Now, why? Okay, good. Shema mina podim sekashim la'achilim klavim. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Okay, so it's going to have kedusha seguf. Fine, which obviously is a chiddush. The solution of waiting until it gets a blemish and then being redeeming it, what's going to happen when you redeem it? Well, consider. Now it's a trefa. You and I won't be able to eat it. So who's going to be the consumer of the animal? So it's going to be it's going to be dog food. Trefa is asr b'achila, but mutter b'hana. So you're allowed to take the trefa and you're allowed to feed it to your dog. But you're telling me now that I could redeem an animal and only so that it could be consumed by the dog? So this is something the Gemara generally says you're not allowed to do. So how can I be poder? Meaning, we're not questioning Shmuel's original position, which is that it has kedusha zaguf. It's a chiddush, but that's not the problem. The problem is, and then what? It's going to get a blemish. You're going to redeem it, and only so that your dog can eat it. How can that work? Ela'ema ose kedusha. Skip the parentheses. Lamos. So according to Shmuel, so we're just going to go back to the first point of Shmuel, which is that it's going to receive kedusha zaguf. What's the result of it? Unfortunately, you can't redeem it because the redemption only would mean that you're going to be feeding it to your dogs, which you're not allowed to do. So So the only thing left to do is for disposal. Rabbi Yoshia Omar, Eino Ela Kemakdish Eitzim Va'avanim Bovad. Now Rabbi Yoshia is of the opinion that, no. You know what this is? When you're Makdish a Treifa, so what it is, it's not a carbon. It's not fit to be a carbon. So you know what you're being Makdish? It's like being Makdish this table. Being Makdish this table, the only thing you're investing in it is Kedushas Damim, not Kedushas Aguf. Same thing with a Treifa. A Treifa, you're only investing it with Kedushas Damim, not Kedushas Aguf. Now, the truth of the matter is, Rav Oshia, much easier to hear, much easier to understand. Obviously, the animal's a Treifa, you can't bring it as a carbon. And you knew it was a Treifa, so what kind of Kedusha are you investing it with? Only its value. Meaning, you know that it can't be offered as a carbon. So the truth of the matter is, it's much easier to hear Rav Oshia's position than it is that of Shmuel's position. But, obviously, Elu ve'Elu, they both are tenable positions. And obviously, what we need to do is we need to find a way to defend. What we're going to do over here, I'm going to follow the advisement of the Shita Mekubetzes. We're going to skip the next three lines of Gemara Tashma. Okay, you'll see. Tashma. Rebbe Lazar Omer Klein Biyosidof Mevetreifa Vetumtum Vanjoganos Lo Kedoshim Vlo Makdishim. So let's go back to what we learned from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that when it comes to these five animals, so they're not Kadosh and they're not Makdish. And Va'amar Shmuel, and again, on this, we're going to say Shmuel's statement, which is, Lo Kedoshim B'Temur V'lo Makdishim Lasos Temura. They can't be on either side of Temura, not the primary side giving off Kedushas Temura, or not on the receiving side, receiving Kedushas Temura. V'tanya Amar Rabbi Meir V'chim Achar Shein Kedoshim Eichem Makdishin. And then it's all Chazara. And but you'll see, obviously, we're headed to a destination. And according to Rabbi, how does that work? If it can't receive Kedusha, so then how do we even get to the question of, well, can I transfer the Kedusha from it to another animal? So it must be, this is the Ukimta that we gave, that it was an animal which, prior to it becoming Treifa, was imbued with Kedusha, ergo it has Kedusha Saguf, and then it becomes a Treifa. That's the case. Now, consider what we're saying now in terms of Pshat in our Mishnah and the question of how could you be Makdish to begin with, and the answer provided in the Gemara, or the answer must be where you were first Makdish and then it becomes a Treifa. And obviously, what's the Diuk? The Gemara spells it out, but we can figure out the Diuk. So, El Makdish Meim V'chakach Nitrefa, Ha'haisa Treifa Mikara, Lo Nachta Le Kedusha Saguf. So that means to say that if the animal was a treifa originally, it's not going to be receiving Kedusha Saguf. And so therefore, how can Shmuel maintain that an animal that's a treifa is going to be receiving Kedusha Saguf? So Amlecha Shmuel, Dilma Hachtan and Nami Savar, Kla Hecha de Lochaz de Lugufa, Lo Nachta La Kedusha Saguf. So the Gemara says, well, it could very well be that the Tana of our Mishnah says that if it itself cannot be offered, so then it's not going to be receiving Kedusha Saguf at all. Now, what the Gemara here is making reference to is a discussion that we're going to be having a little bit today, a little bit later on this morning. But the truth of the matter is this discussion is going to be prevalent and prominent on Daf Yutes. So when we get to Daf Yutes, we're going to understand this concept a lot better. But just right now, I'm going to say it outside. And when we get to Daf Yutes, we're going to see it in great detail. I'm Makdish an animal that cannot receive the Kedusha that I'm giving it. But is there going to be a latent Kedusha Saguf? I'm right now speaking of it very conceptually, very abstract. On Daf Yutes, we'll see it much clearer. But is there going to be a latent Kedusha Saguf in a Kedusha that I am trying to apply to an animal? And the answer to that is, it's a machlokas. And so what the Gemara is deflecting over here and saying is that, well, you know the author of our Tana, so he could be of the opinion that if the animal itself cannot be offered, there is no latent Kedusha Saguf, period. And so therefore, look, I don't have to subscribe to our Mishnah because I fundamentally don't agree, and as we'll see later on, there are Tanaim who support my position, that there's latent Kedusha Saguf. And so therefore, inherent in the latent Kedusha Saguf is the ability to transfer that Kedusha over to another animal. Again, I know I'm speaking very abstractly. Well, on Daf Yutes, a couple days from now, we'll understand it much better. Hajon Lachiesh B'Karbanos, that's the end of the second parak. Let's begin now, this morning, the beginning of the third parak.
So, Rabbi Yosef was accepted or no?
I don't know.
more than Rabbi Elazar?
I don't know. Okay. Elu kadashim shavlad, the same with tomorrow, same kayotze behem. So, these are the kachim where the vlad and the tamura are going to be just like the original. Vlad shlamim v'tamura san, vladan, uvlad vladan at sof kol ha'olam. So if I have vlad shlamim and the tamura of it as well, so under these circumstances, the vladan, vlad vladan at sof kol ha'olam. Generationally, when you have offspring, an offspring of the offspring, an offspring of the offspring, they're going to continuously have Kedusha. And you can continuously also effect Temura from it as well. Atzov kol olam. Hare hein shlamim v'tunim smichim nesachim tenufa chazav v'shok. So every one of these animals is going to have a Kedusha shlamim. They're going to be offered as classic shlamim, as primary shlamim. You're going to have all the requirements that a standard shlamim would require. The mitzvah smicha, resting your hands on the animal, nesachim, or the libations that come together with it, tenufa chazav v'shok, the waving of the chest and the foreleg. So these are all, the hind leg. So these are all going to apply to both the primary kabanos and all these derivatives as well. Kevan detan vladan, vlad vladan asof kalolam lamali. The Mishnah over here seems to be speaking in slight hyperbole. Not hyperbole, but just unnecessary language. Yeah, meaning, when we have a scenario in which we have the offspring having Kedusha, so then obviously the offspring of the offspring also going to have Kedusha. Why should there be any kind of distinction? So, Tani Didan Shamele Reb Lazad, Amar Vlad Shlamim Lo Yikrav Shlamim. So, the Gemara says like this. Because really what our Mishnah is a response. Now, you don't see that in the Mishnah, but that's what the Gemara is filling in the blank. The Mishnah is really responding to the opinion of Rebbe Lazar. Now, who is Rebbe Lazar? So he's coming up later. Tomorrow's daf. Rebbe Lazar says that when it comes to a shlamim, the vlad shlamim is not treated like the shlamim itself. And so what our Mishnah is saying is how strongly we disagree with Rebbe Lazar. So likra shlamim. Va'amar leitani didan lo mi bai bevladan delo modina ela afilo at sof ha'olam lo modina lach. We don't agree with you. We really don't agree with you. Meaning, we're of the opinion that not only is the Vlad Shlamim going to have Kedusha, but even you can go another generation, you can go another generation from there, we strongly disagree. Menani Militan Rabban of the Gemara now wants to know the drushes behind these halachas. That when it comes to a Shlamim and the offspring of a Shlamim, so they're going to have Kedusha, Zachar L'Rabbos is a Vlad. When the Torah introduces us to Karban Shlamim, third parak of Vayikra, the Torah over there used the word Zachar. If you look in the Psukim inside, you will see that the reference to Zachar at one point becomes extraneous. It's a ribui. And what is it coming to include? It rabos is a vlad. It's coming to include even the offspring. V'halo dinhu. Now, by the way, that's a little bit strange. Because Zachar l'rabos is a vlad, meaning what's producing an offspring. It's not the male animal. But anyway, we'll come back to that. The Gemara is going to be bothered by that. V'halo dinhu. Matmor shen gedule hektish kreva. Vlad. Shen gedule hektish eno din shi karev. Now, the Gemara says, now, for a moment, let's imagine we don't have a drasha. And I ask you the question, would an offspring of a carbon have Kedusha? My answer would be yes, logically. Why? Because let's consider the following logic ladder. If I'm going to be transferring Kedusha from a shlamim animal to another animal via Temura, so that secondary animal, it was not raised in Kedusha, it was not cocooned in Kedusha. In other words, I just transferred it via Temura. And yet, my secondary animal is going to have Kedusha Shlamim, going to be offered as a Karban Shlamim. Okay. So if that's true, one can easily imagine that if I have a secondary animal that's raised in Kedusha, right, cocooned in Kedusha, and then emerges from a Karban, so one can easily argue that animal is going to have Kedusha. So what the Gemara is basically saying is, why do I need a drasha? Once I know Temura, so then Vlad Kachem is kind of obvious. The Gemara says, not necessarily. So the Gemara says, well, Temura is more ubiquitous. Temura applies to all types of karbanos. What about Vlad? Well, Vlad only applies to half the karbanos. Well, I was gonna be a little more general, and that's females. In other words, any animal that you are going to be male, they're simply not going to have a Vlad. Now, the argument of the Gemara, and the Gemara is kind of happy with this argument, but the argument is a little bit funny because by the male animals, it's not that their offspring are excluded from Kedusha, it's just Efshar. They can't have any. So admittedly, the argument of the Gemara is kind of based on an impossible scenario, but still, the argument still stands. Meaning that when it comes to Tumor can be affected by every carbon. But when it comes to Vlad, only half the carbon population can have a Vlad. Okay. By the way, my numbers are a little bit off, meaning it's not really based on half. In other words, there's Ola versus Shlamim. Ola comes from male, Shlamim comes from female. Okay, anyway. But to make it simple, you could say half. Tamalomar, Zach l'rabos is a Vlad, Nekeva l'rabos a Tumura. Okay, the Zachar is coming to teach me that the Vlad of a carbon of a Shlamim is going to have the status of a Shlamim. And the word Nekeva, again, if you go through the third parak of Vayikra, you're going to find that at one point the Nekeva word becomes extraneous. And so from there, we're coming to learn Tamura, that the Tamura of a Shlamim is going to be treated like a Shlamim, with all the details of the Shlamim, like we learned in our Mishnah. Smicha, Nesachim, Tanufa Chazav Ashok. So, Ein Li Ela Tamura Tamimim, Vlad Tamimim, Tamura Tamimim, Vlad Tamimim. Vlad Bali Momim, Tamura's Bali Momim, Minayin. So the Gemara says, well, let's go one step further. How about a Tamura of a Balmum? How about the Vlad of a Balmum? So that means to say that the primary animal is a blemished animal. And then I transfer the Kedusha either via Tamura or I transfer the Kedusha via Vlad. It's not transfer, but you understand. It's a derivative. So what becomes over there? Tam lomer im zachar, l'rabos Vlad bale momim, im nekeva, l'rabos tamurus bale momim. The im. In other words, not only do we have the word zachar, but we have im zachar. Not only do we have nekeva, but we have im nekeva. So the im takes us even one step further. And that one step further is that when not only is the truth is the Kedusha going to be transferred via Tamura, not only is the Kedusha going to be transferred via Vlad, but even if the primary animal is a Bamum, and the primary animal itself cannot be offered, if the Kedusha is transferred via Tamura, secondary animal can be offered. If the Kedusha is extended to the Vlad, even though the mother is a Bamum, the Vlad can be offered as a carbon. Okay, and we're learning all this via drushas. So the Gemara says, now why don't we flip it around? Meaning a little bit strange, right? That we're learning out Tamura from Nekeva. We're learning out Vlad from Zachar. That's a little bit strange. When all said and done, by the way, when the day's over, we're going to all arrive at the same conclusions, but still, seems to make a little more sense that the Vlad should be generated from the extra Nekeva. So the Gemara says, "Mistarba mimak mishnas rabba tamur tamim and nisrabba tamur is bale mumen." So at first he didn't fully understand the question. Well, no, because wherever we're going to learn out the tamura of a tamim, we're going to learn out tamur bale mum. In other words, he thought the question was going on the im. Amrle mika minalach lepoch im zachar im nekeva. You didn't understand me. I wasn't asking about the word im. Ana kule kra kamina im zachar larabba says a tamura nekeva larabba says a vlad. My question was going on the original drasha. So Amalei Vlad Lashon Zachar Mashma Tamur Lashon Nekeva Mashma. So the Gemara says grammar. When it comes to the word Zachar and the word Vlad, they're both masculine, right? And so therefore, because they're both masculine, so therefore Mistaber, it's logical to darshan the Vlad from the word Zachar. Tamura is a Lashon Nekeva, and so therefore we're going to darshan the word Tamura from Nekeva. Okay. Good. So where do we stand right now? So at this juncture, at this point in time, we're gonna pause over here. We're gonna pick it up tomorrow. But we have finished up the second parak of the Masechta today, going over the Mishnah of the Chumras that we have by Kachim over Tamura, the Chumra that we have by Tamura over Kachim. Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda introduces us to a second Chumra, and then Rav Elazar says that when you have animals which are disqualified, five different animals that are disqualified: Kalayim, Trefa, Yosidof, and Tumtum, and Jorganus. So they're not going to be receiving Kedusha Sagof on either side of Tamura, not on the receiving end of Tamura, not on the giving end of Tamura. Okay, what exactly are cases of Shogeg B'Mezid? We get offered four Pshatim in today's Daf. As far as Rebbe Lazar's study of his halacha, of these five animals are not going to be receiving Kedusha nor giving Kedusha, if they can't receive Kedusha, how could they be on the giving end of Kedusha? So the Gemara discussed that at the end of the parak. We started this morning the third parak of the Masechta. We talked about Vlado Seim and Tomorrow Seim, where Kayotze Behem. They're going to have the same exact status as the original. And how do we know that? So the Gemara quoted Drushas, and we just clarified at this point in time the Drushas. Where we start tomorrow is that if I have a Balmum, and that Balmum now creates a derivative of a Kusher Karban, either through Tamura or through a Vlad, so then that derivative now is going to be a Karban. Full Karban, even though its source is a Balmum, or limited Karban, meaning it's going to just have the Kedushas Balmum. Tomorrow's discussion, tomorrow's debate, and we'll start that tomorrow.